Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and you know, if you watch the news, unfortunately, sometimes it gets really concerning. We hear about human trafficking and women, and it's a big problem nationally, internationally, and even here locally. But there is hope. There is an organization right here out of Central Kentucky called Refuge for Women that's been trying to help women now for 10 years. And today my guest is Kev Frank. He is the founder and the president of Refuge for Women. And Kev, first of all, thanks for being here today, man.
Thanks, Greg. Thrilled to be here and thrilled to talk about hope and just things that have been happening over the last 10 years.
Well, I couldn't believe when I was doing research for our program here that you guys have been doing this for 10 years, but yeah. Got to ask the question, why?
Yeah. Well, 10 years ago, saw an opportunity to help some people. And so when I was serving as a minister here at a local church, you know, and learned about an outreach that was going on in the strip clubs and on the streets, and never had heard of an outreach quite like that they were doing, but they needed a next step for women to go. It's one thing to leave, to get out of those kind of places, but at the same time, for many of them that are working there, to leave means there's going to be a lot of financial needs. There's going to be a lot of just daily situations they're going to have to care for, you know, and sometimes they've got kids they're going to have to care for. And so for a lot of the women that are caught up in these situations, I mean, to get out and to start over again, they're going to need somewhere to go, you know, to do that, to heal, to make sure their needs are being taken care of. And so we felt like this is what the Lord was calling us to do. And so my best friend bought a 50-acre farm, had an old farmhouse on it, and one thing led to another, and he agreed to let us come and use that old farmhouse. And that's began a journey that now 10 years later, it was a God thing and a God story, and hundreds of people have been able to get help and start over again.
Well, the beautiful thing, and we're going to go in more detail about it, but obviously you started out here locally, but now Refuge for Women has a national presence. Talk a little bit about the expansion over the past 10 years.
Yeah, so about 3 years in, there was a group in Chicago that had been sending us women. They wanted to get out of Chicago. They wanted to just be safe, start over. And so they were bringing women down here to us, to Central Kentucky. And some of the women they were working with, though, said that because of legal issues, because of their kids, they weren't able to leave the state of Illinois. And so this particular group said, hey, what would it look like if you helped us get a site going up here for people that needed to stay here and it didn't work for them to leave? And so, you know, we decided, we felt like this sounded like a great thing. And so we got rolling with them. And that began, you know, our first effort of putting a secondary location, you know, up in the Chicago area. And it didn't take long after that. I got an email from somebody that was out in Las Vegas, and they said, you know, hey, we got lots of needs out here in Las Vegas, obviously, you know, and what would it take to get a home out here in Las Vegas? And so we started working on Chicago and Las Vegas about the same time, and we got both of those sites opened up. And then Dallas, Texas, somebody reached out and said, you know, we would be interested in something down here. And so we opened up outside of Dallas and had four homes going on. And then actually just last Monday, we opened up our fifth house right outside of Pittsburgh in the eastern side of Ohio. And what that's allowed us to do, Greg, is that I never envisioned doing this from the beginning, but it's allowed us to relocate people. And so if you're from Kentucky, what we'll do is we'll put you in one of the houses in another state, and it gives you an opportunity, because the women that we're serving are human trafficking survivors. They've hung around literally just dangerous people and people that had evil intentions, and for them to be able to just completely leave, start over, put new roots down, build a new life, and feel safe. For many of them, this is literally the first time maybe they've felt safe in a long, long time, or maybe ever. And so, you know, again, if you're 1,000 miles from where you were doing all kinds of different things, it's a great thing. And so it has actually brought a whole new dynamic to Refuge for Women to relocate people and to start over, get them out of their areas. And so by now having five open houses, it allows us to do that. And it's become a real game changer for our organization.
Well, it's just tremendous. As you know, I realized that I thought you had a second location. I saw five, and it's just great to see what God's doing. And just a changing environment can do wonders for somebody, not just, you know, in the human trafficking side, but just lots of areas of life, isn't it?
Absolutely, especially in recovery. I mean, new people, new places. I mean, it's a must if you're going to start over and you're going to begin a whole brand new life. You've got to relocate. it may not mean actually moving, but again, if you know, let's just say with addiction, I mean the what you did for fun, the people you hung out with. I mean, again, when you give your life to Christ and you want to let go of that old life, it's probably going to mean a relocating of what you do on Friday and Saturday nights. It's going to mean, you know, again, what you watch on TV is going to change. You know, the friends you have are going to, everything's got to change when you start over in the Lord. And so, again, it's the same thing physically, you know, with refuge as well, as far as the relocating of people.
Well, I know it's a basic question. I should ask you this part earlier, but there's somebody listening, whether it's live on the radio or through the podcast. Explain what human trafficking is.
Yeah. So when we talk about human trafficking, the three words that really, you know, the government would define as trafficking would be force, fraud, and coercion makes up a human trafficking situation. So people that are caught up in the sex trade, again, that may be dancing, that may be prostituting, that may mean escorting or pornography, or again, if they are not there because they want to be there, again, it is considered a human trafficking situation. Or, you know, you hear situations where, again, people are coerced into being in situations, maybe through trickery or deceit. Maybe, you know, somebody gets somebody into the country and now they say that, you know, they owe them a debt for getting them in. They take their passport, they take any kind of identification they have, and it's, you know, at a ridiculous interest rate they're going to charge them, you know, for bringing, or they thought they were coming here for a modeling job, and next thing they know, they're in a whole different line of work that they never envisioned. And so, again, the other part of that is if you're under the age of 18. Again, if you are engaged in commercial sex acts, sex for money, and you're under the age of 18, it's considered a human trafficking situation. Government, you know, again, our society says that a 15-year-old does not have the maturity, you know, to be able to make those kind of decisions to engage in sex with somebody for the exchange of goods or money. And so, again, that's considered a human trafficking situation. So in our situation for refuge, some of the women that we serve are here because they were involved in force and they were being forced to prostitute from somebody they thought was maybe going to be a boyfriend or somebody who was going to help them hit it big in some capacity. And other people, it was because they started prostituting when they were 14, 15 years old. And they've been involved in prostitution for 10 or 15 years, and they're considered trafficking because they were involved as a teenager. And so, again, there's many different situations, and we have had lots and lots of people that have come through. Every one of them's unique. Every one of them's got a story, uniqueness, but yet there's also a common language. There's also a lot that they can identify with each other in that house as they start to go, oh my gosh, you're telling my story, or there's so many things that you understand about where I've been through as they engage with each other, you know. And so, again, it's a pretty powerful dynamic as they go, I'm not alone, you know, other people have been through similar things that I've been through as well.
Well, and you hear about human trafficking, you think about it on the international level and a national level, but I mean, it's an issue here in central Kentucky, the state of Kentucky, isn't it?
We just presented as part of our program, one of the things that we do is we go into the schools and we talk to students, because the average age of entry into prostitution is between 12 and 14 years old. And so we're constantly,
say that again. How
12 to 14 years old is the average age of entry for a prostitute. And when you enter into the lifestyle of prostitution, your lifespan is about 7 years, because it's so dangerous, because it's so abusive and just horrific. It's a horrific lifestyle. So again, people who've watched maybe the movie Pretty Woman, or had this image in their mind of this, you know, lifestyle of, this is, you know, hey, they're getting paid for sex, it's a big party, you know, it's this glamorous Hollywood. It's actually a horrific experience and a horrific line of work, and it's very, very abusive to the people that are involved in it, you know. And so it is right here. We go into the schools and we talk to students and we say that there are dangers that are online. That, Greg, when you and I were teenagers several moons ago, when we were teenagers, we didn't deal with the kind of things that teenagers today are dealing with, because we didn't have the internet. Right. We didn't have all the challenges that they're experiencing. And so they're, you know, they're constantly being bombarded with all kinds of harms potentially that they, you know, could be experiencing through social media or just online behavior. And so we go into the schools and we talk to them about, here's the ways that traffickers will lure students into following them and grooming them. And it's right here at West Jesmond High School. About a week and a half ago, me and the head guy for human trafficking in the state of Kentucky presented to their students, and he said right now on his desk, he has 45 open cases of human trafficking on his desk for the state of Kentucky right now that is involving hundreds and hundreds of victims. A lot of them are teenagers that people have been just literally just a couple weeks ago, there was in the news, breaking news, three guys in Paducah that, you know, again, were arrested because they thought that they were going to have sex with a couple of 15-year-old girls. And lo and behold, they had actually been communicating with the state police. About a month and a half ago, they arrested somebody at the Bluegrass Airport. He flew in from Texas, thought he was coming to sleep with some teenagers. State police met him at the Bluegrass Airport. He's in the Fayette County Detention Center right now. There is a lot going on an international front, on a national front, but right here in the state of Kentucky as well.
Well, and that's why I wanted to create awareness of this. You know, we call it Hope is Here, and you guys are providing hope for women, but also want to, you know, let people know that, you know, you just need to be wise. I mean, every one of these women, especially these children, 12 to 14 years old, that get into prostitution, they're all of them start out as somebody's daughter, don't they?
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And I'll tell you this, to say that, you know, all walks of life can end up in situations that they never envisioned. And I have talked to, you know, so many different moms, parents over the last 10 years, and they will all tell you the same thing. I would have never imagined that it would have been my kid who ended up in this situation. Parents who thought that, again, they're doing the best they can, and situations happened, sometimes out of their control, that, you know, that they end up learning that their child had things going on the side, or that their child had been abused for years by a family member, creating a lot of trauma in their life and just challenges, or an addiction started. And they may have been a straight A student. They may have been the furthest person you would have ever imagined. You know, I'm thinking of one particular lady right now who came through our program, and she was a pastor's child. And we have had multiple pastors' kids that have come through the refuge who you would think that, again, if you would think that there'd be any family, there's no way that well, as a ordained minister myself, it scares me half to death to think, what if that was my kid that ended up in these kind of difficult situations? I mean, it's terrible to think about for any of us who would say, it's terrible to think that anybody's kid would end up in this, let alone somebody that you know and love and all of that, you know. So there's no family that is exempt from potential things happening that are out of your control, or that, you know, again, but at the same time, you know, when there's hope for them to get out, hope to be reconciled with family members, you know, and that's part of the reason we want to go around and say, you know, hey, know the signs of how some of these things work, and ways to help get your kids out of situations maybe that they're in, or to pay attention more to who they're hanging around with, who they're communicating with online, signs of drug addiction that might be potentially starting. You know, all those kind of things we want to talk about, and hopefully make families and students as safe as can be here in the state of Kentucky.
Just tuned in, we're talking with Kev Frank. He is the founder and president of Refuge for Women. It's based right here in Central Kentucky, but now has expanded to a national level with homes in Dallas, Chicago, and outside of Pittsburgh, and also some new locations going to be opening up later this year. But unfortunately, we're out of time today, but I want to encourage you to check out their website, refugeforwomen.org. That's refugeforwomen.org. And also hope that you'll join us tomorrow, as we're going to let Ked share a little bit about the programs that they offer and how they give these women hope and, most of all, healing. My name's Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.